First case this afternoon is case number 70157, State Engineer v. Eureka County. For the, we have Micheline Fairbanks and Paul Taggart for the appellants, Karen Peterson and Therese Ure, is that how you pronounce it, Ure? For the respondents. Now we're going to be splitting arguments, I decide. Okay, I'm a stickler on that. What's your time frame on splitting? Okay, so take a look. When it's at 7.5, I'm going to say, that's it. Okay, and about, what about your side?
Your Honor,
we
split 10 minutes for Eureka County and 5 minutes for Gatchel.
Okay, again, this is how I believe it should happen. I think everybody would appreciate it. About, yeah, and also about rebuttal. You know, that'll count also. If you use up the 7.5, you have no rebuttal. Justice Gibbons reminded me of that. You ready to proceed with the first 7.5 minutes?
Thank you and good afternoon. My name is Micheline Fairbank and I represent the State of Nevada Division of Water Resources and Jason King, the Nevada State Engineer, who is here today along with some of his staff. My colleague, as you have heard, Mr. Taggart and I are splitting our time equally. Mr. Taggart represents Kobe Valley Ranch, who I'll be referring to as KVR. And I'd like to reserve 90 seconds for rebuttal. In short, the district court's decision should be reversed because the district court misapprehended this court's prior decision in Eureka County versus State Engineer, which concluded that the State Engineer's ruling 6127 was not supported by substantial evidence, deprived the protestants of their due process rights, and was improper for acting upon KVR's water rights while simultaneously deferring consideration of the monitoring, mitigation, and management, or 3M plan, to a future point in time. This court did not find that KVR's water right applications could not be granted under any facts or circumstances, and that they must be denied. Rather, the court found that the State Engineer's ruling 6127 without first resolving the concerns regarding a prospective 3M plan was improper. While the State Engineer does not challenge the district court's authority to grant petitions for judicial review, in this case, the district court exceeded its jurisdiction when it went beyond granting the petitions for judicial review, but by then also acting upon KVR water right applications. The district court erroneously declined remanding this case to the State Engineer based upon its rationalization that the court did not conclude that additional administrative review and findings were necessary. Since this court did not explicitly state that this matter should be remanded to the State Engineer. Again, in denying...
Did we explicitly state when we remand cases? Do we have an obligation as the appellate court to explicitly state?
I certainly think that clarity is helpful. I don't know that it's necessarily a requirement. However, the clarity in this particular instance probably would have been helpful had that, which is what the court inferred its decision was. Again, in denying reconsideration, the district court stated, had the Supreme Court found that further proceedings were necessary in its procedural history of remanding cases, it strongly suggests in its opinion it would have included language remanding to the district court with instructions to remand for further proceedings. So again, that clarity would have been helpful. The district court should have remanded this matter to the State Engineer for further proceedings, as was suggested by this court's decision in Eureka County, and the remand to the State Engineer could have been as simple as a remand for further proceedings consistent with this court's prior decision in the Eureka County versus State Engineer matter, or alternatively, the district court could have specified specific issues for the State Engineer to address on remand, including reconsidering the grant of KVR's applications following the full consideration of a proposed 3M plan and protestants' comments and concerns relating to that plan. Also, by assuring that the State Engineer afforded all parties the opportunity to challenge the evidence regarding KVR's applications in the proposed 3M plan before the state engineer acted upon KVR's applications, and if the state engineer found a 3M plan could resolve the conflicts to those existing rights, the state engineer could have been instructed to articulate what mitigation would encompass, assuring that there was the inclusion of evidence of what mitigation would entail, and specifying whether the 3M plan would indeed fully restore the senior water rights at issue.
Why are we obligated to leave breadcrumbs? The prior order says, in sum, substantial evidence does not support the state engineer's finding.
Because in the prior decision in Eureka County, you guys didn't get to deciding the 3M plan. Because the procedural history was that the district court granted or denied the petitions for judicial review with respect to ruling 6127. That decision was appealed. While that appeal, while the proceedings were ongoing, the state engineer then acted upon the 3M plan. Then that decision was appealed, and those two matters were heard before, and this court never got to answering the 3M plan and looking as to whether or not the 3M plan would resolve the conflict to existing rights. NRS 533-353 allows for
Isn't the lack of substantial evidence a precursor, though, in that evaluation? And if it's not there, how can you go any further?
But in that particular instance, the substantial evidence was based upon the assumption or the understanding that the 3M plan would resolve it, but the 3M plan...
There was nothing there to even lead you down that road. It's just a wish.
It was a wish, but it was also a recognition that the state engineer found that a 3M plan could resolve any
What
conflict.
Was before... There was nothing before there. That's the genesis. There was no substantial evidence as to that issue.
Correct, but the court never found that the applications by KVR couldn't ever be granted.
It's not a question that we weren't going to suppose. We needed something substantial in the record, i.e. substantial evidence.
Correct, and that's why the state engineer's decision was vacated. And that was what should have gone back to the state engineer, was to resolve those factual issues. It shouldn't have resulted in the denial of KVR's applications.
What if there was another kind of failure of proof? And so the petition was vacated for lack of substantial evidence. Do you get a do-over? And if so, what are the parameters for determining that?
Well, here the issue isn't necessarily a do-over, because what we have here is we have a finding that the state engineer failed to exercise appropriate due process. So it's not necessarily a do-over for KVR or anybody else. It's an opportunity for every party to have their full due process rights recognized and acknowledged and afforded. So not only do the protestants have their due process rights guaranteed by having that opportunity to weigh in on the 3M plan prior to and acting on those applications, but KVR also then has their due process rights assured by allowing them to be able to weigh in on the protestants' challenges to a potential 3M plan.
But the assumptions on which this was litigated was that a future 3M plan would excuse current demonstrated conflicts, and that therefore that was the focus of that prior proceeding. And I understand what you're saying, and we reversed and remanded, which is typically for further proceedings. But in this case, it's troubling to me that a trial was held, if you will, where lack of substantial evidence was presented because of assumptions that were statutorily unwarranted.
I'm out of time, Your Honor, but I would like to answer the question if I may.
Go ahead.
So, Your Honor, what happened was is we had a hearing, and we had the decision with respect to, or there was the procedural process with respect to the granting of the applications. And the state engineer in practice has evaluated the totality of the circumstances and left the details, the nuances of what a 3M plan has been to a later point in time. An example is also involving a case that has, you know, come up here before, and that's involving the Southern Nevada Water Authority decisions. So, I mean, this is not an unprecedented practice by the state engineer to delay until another day that 3M plan. And so in this particular instance, they decided the applications, and the 3M plan wasn't allowed to be, or wasn't part of that full dialogue prior to the grant of the applications. And so that analysis didn't happen ahead of time, and so no party should be deprived their opportunity to revisit that.
Thank you. I'm going to give you 2 minutes for your rebuttal, and I'm going to add another 2 minutes to Ms. Peterson's group. So you're up to 17 minutes. Let's see how we do with him. Maybe more than 17 minutes. Mr. Taggart, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chief Judge.
Try to be really even-handed with this with time, and I know we ask a lot of questions.
May it please the Court. My name is Paul Taggart. I represent KBR in this case. I'd like to start with Genesis, if we can begin there. Certainly, the result of the district court's decision is that my client will never be able to put on 3M evidence. The question you might ask is why. I think you started to get there earlier, but the facts are that we anticipated putting on 3M evidence after the approval. That was the rule that the state engineer applied at that time. My client relied upon that rule, did not present 3M evidence at the time of the hearing, anticipated putting it on after the hearing, it would be but before pumping, that there would be a plan in place. And then the case came up to your court. So your record that you're reviewing is not complete. It does not have counterweighing evidence of mitigation against the obvious evidence you found of conflict. So the question you might ask is, why wasn't that evidence put on the first time around? I alluded a bit to it. First, we relied upon the state engineer's prior practice. We provided you with a pamphlet that goes through a series of cases that the state engineers decided in rulings through applications. One of the dilemmas we have in the water field is that, I think as Justice Hardesty said before, these unwritten rules percolate up through the state engineer's office. The only way we understand what the rules are in the state engineer's office is by reading his rulings. We've provided you with that pamphlet that has those rulings in it, but it's reasonable for a party to rely on the state engineer for a number of reasons. One, the courts give deference to the state engineer's interpretation of statutes. So it's fair for the public to expect that the state engineer knows what he's doing when he's applying a statute. Also, the district court in this case agreed with the state engineer that a 3M plan could come at a later time. So there's certainly reasons why it was done, that the 3M evidence was not put on. We have advocated in our briefs that just like in the Great Basin Water Network case where the applicant was not punished for the state engineer's failure to comply with his statutory duty, the applicant should not be punished here. The bizarre fact in this case is that if, and the big picture idea, is that if the denial stands, one, my client will never have the opportunity to present 3M evidence regarding its applications, and two, Eureka County has now filed for the very same water that we were trying to develop, and they want to develop it themselves.
I understand your argument, but it's troubling. It's like, trust me, I have a plan. And I'm going to make a decision letting you go forward. And there's nothing submitted that says there's a plan, except this promise in the dark in the future.
And I do not disagree with you at all in the terms of that part of the opinion. I mean, for hindsight's 2020, looking back at it now and seeing how you've written the decision, we all would have done things differently if we could have back.
It's like asking for a loan with no collateral.
Well, the... So the problem with the ruling is that Judge Fairman indicated that our applications will be denied and we will not get an opportunity to ever put that evidence on. When the court was looking at the record before it, it also needed to answer the legal question, can we mitigate a conflict? Is it possible under Nevada law to do that? You did not have the necessary factual record to make that decision. I think there was a lot of concern that with this perspective, we'll do it and we'll see it when it comes and we'll do a plan in the future, it potentially gave the state engineer untethered authority, unchecked authority. What we suggest is that a hearing before the state engineer can allow us to produce the evidence that's necessary to tether his authority, both constitutionally, through common law, and through statutory law. Nevada law has always indicated that a water right is a usufructory right. That means it's a right of use, not a right to exclude. It's not like real property. It's not like our house. An individual who has a right to use water has a right to a certain quantity of water, and that's been our law since 1872. An individual KBR should have the opportunity to show that we can make sure that small water right that may be impacted can be met, and that assurances can be provided. There can also be express conditions provided, and if you recall in Fire 34-110 sub 5, it allows for a reasonable lowering of the static water level, it allows for impacts to existing rights, as long as express conditions are included in the permit that assure that that right will be met. In the last hearing, there were no express conditions in the permit that was granted by the state engineer. If a evidentiary hearing is allowed, information about protection from abandonment, assuring that the right will be served, that a well would be required to be drilled prior to the pumping, each one of these types of provisions could be included and required as part of the permit, which was not done the last time. That can all be developed through an evidentiary record. Then it can come back to the court, and you can make that legal decision based upon a complete record on whether or not conflicts can be mitigated.
So what would you ask for in terms of remand? Everything's in play, and you have both sides would have the opportunity to show that either it can or can't be mitigated, or there is or is not a conflict?
We ask for the opportunity to comply with the court's rule that was established in the last case, and we would like the district court to be directed to have the state engineer conduct an evidentiary hearing that would allow evidence to be submitted regarding KBR's ability to mitigate the conflicts that were identified in this court's opinion.
But you would agree also, though, that water rights holders, pre-existing water rights holders, would be entitled to come with additional proof of potential conflicts, because the concept of "will mitigate in the future" permeated this proceeding, so it would be a no-holds-barred do-over, correct?
Absolutely. I mean,
okay, so you're not proposing any limits on, we just talk about the loss of the spring, but rather it would be for anyone who is potentially affected and whom mitigation will not be a solution for.
Absolutely. I think it's clear we got the message. The decision was very clear. It was in part procedural due process. It was, you need to give the protestants the opportunity to come, to participate, to know how the mitigation will occur with presently known facts about their water rights and how that conflict will be corrected. And so a hearing,
if at all. I mean, it may be that you can't produce enough proof to obviate the conflict.
That's, I don't want to presuppose,
right.
But I believe that our case will show that. But certainly that's...
But they're entitled to that, too.
Yes, they are. And we would measure their evidence against our evidence. But the problem, I think, with the last round of this case is that you had such a record that was out of balance because you only saw one side of the coin. And it was very difficult. We need the court to decide the legal issue on whether conflicts can be mitigated under Nevada law. We need that decision to be made. It appears that the record just wasn't the type of record the court could use to make that decision. You couldn't see where those controls on state engineer power would be. It looked like it was going to be too broad of a power for the state engineer. So we want to build that record so we can come back to the court so that you can get back in and give us that legal answer to that legal question.
Thank you, Mr. Taggart. I'm going to give you 2 minutes also for rebuttal. So, Ms. Peterson, you now have 19 minutes, and I'll let you and Ms. Urey decide how you're going to split 19 minutes. It's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time. May you please the court? My name is Urey Peterson from Allison McKenzie Law Firm, representing Eureka County. And sitting at the council table with us is Ted Utell. He's the district attorney from Eureka County, and also some of the county commissioners and other representatives of Eureka County are here in the audience.
Welcome to everybody.
Thank you. And Justice Pickering, you hit the nail on the head. What KBR and the state engineer are requesting is really a do-over. They want a mulligan. They want this administrative process and state engineer proceedings to be a never-ending loop from which aggrieved parties never receive justice, which we cited McDonnell Douglas Corporation versus National Aeronautics and Space Corporation in our brief. The legislature's provided a remedy when an applicant does not comply with the statutory criteria and the application conflicts with existing rights. The legislature's provided that the state engineer must reject the application. This isn't the case like Robert versus Ray, where the state engineer failed to address a crucial issue. The state engineer did address the issue of mitigation and whether mitigation would resolve the conflict. There wasn't substantial evidence in the record to support the state engineer's decision. It's not like the case of Town of Eureka, where there was a limited remand back to the state engineer because the court held that there was little evidence in the record to show what Eureka County's water use had been after it had cured the forfeiture and the state engineer hadn't addressed that issue. And it's not like the case of Great Basin Water Company, where the remand was ordered because the court wanted to allow the state engineer to re-notice the applications and reopen the proceedings because that was the equitable remedy to provide in that situation.
How do you respond to their argument that they were just basically following the rules set forth by the engineer, they were going to take care of that down the road?
Well, I think it's wrong that KBR relied upon the state engineer in determining how to present its case. That's just wrong. It has the burden to determine how it's going to present its case and how it's going to meet the statutory criteria. And the state engineer shouldn't be allowed to kind of tell some kind of party in a contested proceeding that that party doesn't have to present evidence on a certain issue. I mean, that's just wrong. It's twisted. The argument is twisted. It's dysfunctional. It's not appropriate in a contested proceeding where we were supposed to have an independent fact finder that's fair to both sides. And the reason a remand is going to open up a Pandora's box in this case and every other case is, at least in the end, well, for every other case, whenever you decide that a state engineer's decision is not based upon substantial evidence, the applicant's always going to ask for a redo. They're always going to ask for them to be able to present the evidence that was missing. The reason why it's not fair in this case is that our second hearing on these applications was held in December 2010, and I think there was another hearing on one issue in May in 2011. There are certain statutory criteria that the state engineer has to determine when deciding applications. One of them, for instance, being whether the applicant has the financial ability and the wherewithal to go ahead and proceed with the project. And conditions have changed between 2010 and now. And if there's a limited remand back to the state engineer, the protestants don't have the ability to bring up those issues anymore, because the only thing under the limited remand instruction that's been asked by KBR is that we're only going to be talking about mitigation. And there may be other reasons now why the applications shouldn't be granted. So that is not equitable. And another reason the remand shouldn't be allowed is because, what if you do allow the remand? What if you do allow KBR to present their evidence? What if the court again upholds that there's not substantial evidence to uphold the state engineer's determination? Why wouldn't KBR ask again to have another hearing? Again, their theory and their position is promoting this endless loop in the administrative process and the state engineer's process where aggrieved parties are never going to be able to get justice. So if there is a proper instruction that needs to be given to the district court, that instruction would be that if there is an instruction that needs to be given by the district court to the state engineer, it needs to be that the state engineer needs to deny the applications and vacate the permits.
And just arguing strictly on the text of the Eureka 1, let's call it that, it said reverse and remand to the district court. And there's a distinction in the mandate between a case that simply says reverse and a case that says reverse and remand. A reversal would be what you just outlined, reverse it outright, dismiss, etc. A reverse and remand is more open for proceedings in the district court. And I think we need to kind of address that. the scope of what goes then on a remand, if it went to the state engineer, would necessarily, I mean, you would have to determine, I mean, the first record was affected by this belief that you could have a 3M plan in the future that would answer, be a panacea for everything that wasn't articulated. But were there enough conflicts in that record that every water right would be affected by that, or just some water rights?
KBR presented its case as we need 11,300 acre feet of water for our project. That's it.
Okay.
They didn't delineate in their model how certain applications would affect existing.
So the whole case, I mean, and that's my recollection of that record. It was premised on the idea you could prove mitigation in the future.
Correct. Correct. So just getting back to one of your first question, on the first page of the opinion, Eureka 1, it specifically states the state engineer's decision to approve the applications and issue the permit that issued here is not supported by substantial evidence. We thus reverse the district court's decision denying judicial review of the state engineer's decision and remand. And that's the decision that you held could not stand. This district court logically concluded that because the court did not order a remand to the state engineer, which they could have if they wanted to, and based upon the Supreme Court's reversal of the court's order denying the petitions for judicial review and the state engineer's decision to grant the application, the court grants the petitions for judicial review. Eureka County asks in its petitions for judicial review that the ruling be vacated, that the applications be denied, that the permits be vacated. You have upheld in the past actions by a district court on remand that followed the law of the case and that logically followed from what the court ordered in the first opinion, and that would be Scotsman versus the Department of Taxation. And in that case, what the court did originally was ordered that the tax was illegal, and on remand, the district court ordered a refund of the improperly collected tax. And this court upheld that that was appropriate because that logically followed from what was ordered in the first case and followed the law of the case. And so we would argue, because we had asked in our petitions for judicial review that the permits be vacated and the applications be denied, that that logically followed based upon this court's decision that the state engineer's decision could not stand. The state engineer's decision, which you pointed out, approved the applications and issued the permits. And then going back to one of the other points, there is a case, Williams versus Best Cleaner. It's 670 Atlantic 2nd, 294 Connecticut, 1996, that does state that where an agency is reversed and it appears that as a matter of law that there is only one single conclusion that the agency could reasonably reach, the court may direct the agency to take such action on remand. And so if the district court should have remanded to the state engineer and given some kind of instructions, we would argue that the district court should have remanded with instructions to the state engineer to deny the applications for all the reasons that we've set forth here. And the state engineer knows that its proceedings have to be based upon substantial evidence. It has a specific regulation. It's NAC 533, I will find it, that allows it to present, to ask at any time during a hearing for the parties to submit additional evidence, or any time after the hearing for the parties to submit additional evidence. And in fact, that's what happened in this case. In May of 2011, we had another proceeding for additional evidence in this case. If the state engineer knew that there wasn't any evidence regarding mitigation, he could have asked for additional evidence on that issue. KBR is the party that knew that its expert was going to testify that its pumping would impact the springs and dry up the springs. Its documentary evidence showed that. It was the party that was.
If the state engineer's position up to that point is that I will allow applicants to demonstrate mitigation later, and that is the policy, that is existent in the state engineer's office, why would a party provide that mitigation evidence? The applications weren't just granted here. They were granted on the condition that there be a plan with respect to mitigation, which was consistent with the state engineer's approach to this issue, an approach this court rejected. So why wouldn't the applicant be permitted to provide that evidence when doing so was not going to be considered by the state engineer at that point?
The evidence would have been considered by the state engineer at that point if KVR had put it in. Absolutely, it would have been considered.
But why would they present it when their policy and practices outlined in their pamphlets, the engineer says, we'll consider mitigation as a condition to the approval of these applications?
Because
it seems to be a deprivation of due process. Now, I'm not suggesting, as has been suggested here, that everybody gets a do-over. Perhaps what should be reviewed is the status of the condition of the application when she was presented and examined as of that point in time.
Well, KBR admits, Your Honor, that there is nothing in statute or regulation that supports this practice of
I don't doubt that. I mean, I've read a number of treatises and articles written about the state engineer's office and the number, supposedly, of unwritten rules. I suspect you, as a practitioner in this area, knows that there's unwritten rules in the state engineer's office. This seemed to be one also.
Well, personally, I would never rely on that to present my case because I know my case needs to be supported by substantial evidence.
Right, but they did, and that was the engineer's policy, and nobody seemed to dispute that till it gets up here, and once and for all, the Supreme Court is called upon to reconcile whether or not that's an appropriate policy. We rejected it.
And again,
so why, if it were just a straight up reversal, why would we have to send it back to the state, to the district court at all? If this was a straight out reversal, why wouldn't we just reverse? That's what we've done before. Didn't the word remand mean anything?
It did. And the district court, the reversal was, as the state engineer pointed out in his argument, the reversal was the denial of the petitions for judicial review. So the district court determined, and it did not err, that it should grant the petitions for judicial review so that the protestants, the aggrieved parties, would have some kind of justice. There's no stare decisis of administrative decisions in Nevada and administrative decisions of the state engineer. So no court is bound or no party is bound by what the state engineer has done in the past for past practices.
Ms. Peterson, there's about 5 minutes and 20 seconds left. Do you want to yield to Ms. Urie?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Urie?
Good afternoon, Justices. My name is Tracy Urie, Florida Law Office, and I'm here representing Diamond Cattle Company and Edgebury Family Limited Partnership. On behalf of both entities in the courtroom is Martin Edgebury Jr. and Mark Edgebury. Justices, I'm going to focus mainly on the arguments relating to the petition for judicial review on the 3M plan only. And the 3M plan directives cannot be read in a vacuum, as KBR suggests. The 3M plan appeal was filed after appeals on the state engine ruling and two appeals on the permits. When read together, these petitions asked for vacating the permits, denying the applications, and vacating the ruling 6127, and vacating the approval of the 3M plan. If you review Echeverry and Diamond Cattle Company's appeal or petition for judicial review, the specific request for relief, item number one, was that the court vacate the state engineer's approval of the 3M plan. The second item for relief was, to enter instructions back to the state engineer for a satisfactory plan. And our third request for relief was such other relief as this court deemed just. Well, this court specifically stated that they recognize in its argument that the only remedy for a 3M plan appeal is the actual vacating the 3M plan itself. I would agree with my co-counsel that the appellants are adverse at proposing cases before the court. The requirements in statute say that you cannot issue a permit if it conflicts with existing rights. And further, those permits can be, those conflicts can be, dealt with express conditions. The 3M plan was not an express condition, and I think this court realized that in its decision. This court did not adopt the assumption that the state engineer could grant applications where the resulting appropriations would conflict with existing rights, based on the finding that the applicant would be able to successfully mitigate the drying up of springs. That was in your opinion, Your Honors. And so it is Echeverry's position that while we concur with co-counsel's arguments, that this court should vacate the decisions. KBR has already had several bites at the apple, and having to go forth and protect its rights, my clients continually have to assert those conflicts. They are known conflicts. KBR knew of the conflicts. If they knew of the conflict, it was their burden of proof to argue that they could get around those conflicts, and that should have been done at the first time before the state engineer's proceedings. We don't believe that there is a need to remand to the state engineer for further proceedings, given NRS 370 or 533.370 and 534.110. If remanded, the instructions should require vacating the ruling, denying the permits and applications, and vacating the 3M plan. And these were specifically reliefs requested before the district court in those petitions for judicial review, which upon remand, this court approved. So, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Fairbank and Mr. Tiger, you have 4 minutes together. I'll let you decide how you're going to use your 4 minutes.
I plan on only using half my time. Thank you. I'd like to just go ahead and focus on one provision of the statute, and that's NRS 533.353, which explicitly addresses 3M plans. And the legislature stated in this particular provision that if the state engineer requires a 3M plan as a condition of approving water for beneficial use, the state engineer shall, if requested by the county, allow the county to participate in an advisory capacity. There's not a time schedule set forth in the statute, and it doesn't explicitly provide that the protestants be permitted to participate in the 3M plan. The state engineer was following the statute as he understood it and as he understood it to be applied. And in this particular case, that's what he did.
Well, that seems a little odd, counsel. Quoting from our prior opinion, we note that when the question of mitigation came up to KBR's representatives, Patrick Roger acknowledged that he didn't know what we would propose in a mitigation plan. A mitigation plan hasn't been developed yet. It would be speculative to say that we would or would not propose one.
Correct. And so what the statute provides is once the state engineer decides that a 3M plan is necessary, this sets out those particular provisions.
Well, that would suggest that at the time of the hearing, they hadn't even thought about it.
Well, that's not true necessarily, because that's what the 3M plan was being, it was considered as part of those mitigation. But the statute doesn't set forth that the 3M plan has to be developed prior to the appropriation, prior to the state engineer's decision. So that's the point that I'm trying to make, is that what we have is we have a statute that allows, that we have these two statutes that allow for the balancing, to allow the full use, the full beneficial use of water in the state of Nevada.
So you're suggesting that we would approve a process that someone comes in, applies for water rights, the water rights conflict with others, and even though there's no idea, not even a thought given to how you'd mitigate that, we're going to grant the application and let everybody talk about this later? Is that the process?
That's the process has been that when there's an understanding that mitigation can resolve that conflict, but
shouldn't there be some basis in the record possibility?
That's what was clarified by this court in the Eureka County 1 decision. And so that's the basis in which everybody had been operating on a practice. And so what we did is the state engineer followed that practice, and here we are. And it's not a do-over. It's just an entitlement of everybody's due process rights.
Mr. Tiger. Again, Paul Tiger for the record. The state engineer before, when he did things, Justice Hardesty, he had a history with large mines in Nevada. When there was a small water right, a spring like this, it was relatively simple to put a well in right next to the spring. And I think the anticipation of everyone was that's the kind of mitigation that could be done here. It's a 1.6 acre foot, that's less than what a house uses, of water per year. And this is a 11,300 acre foot application project, and it's also a basin with 6,000 acre feet of unappropriated water. So I think, you know, obviously the state engineer does it differently now based on your decision, but I don't think it's proper to think that no one had thought about any of that at all. I don't think they'd written up a report yet.
Finish your thought.
What I wanted to say is the district court could not do what this court would not do. This court would not deny the applications. You did not put a period after the word reverse. You said reverse and remand. The district court was directed to grant the petitions for judicial review. It needed to look at what relief had been requested in those petitions, and consistent with this opinion, grant the proper relief. It was not required to grant all the relief that the petitions for judicial review requested, only the relief that was consistent with this opinion. If this court would not deny the applications because of the evidentiary problem, the district court could not do it either.
Thank you, Ms. Fairbank, Mr. Tiger, Ms. Peterson, Ms. Urey, for your outstanding arguments in this matter, your briefs. This matter will stand submitted.